Come on and worship the Lord on today. How many people are glad that the Lord knows your name? How many people are glad that he walks with me and he talks with me and that he tells me Let's give God some praise on today. We thank God for our musicians and our praise and worship team. God is worthy to be praised. And I don't care what song we sing. I don't care what song is played. When you come into this place with a spirit of rejoicing, with a spirit of thanksgiving, the Spirit of the Lord gets excited and it moves about this place. When you start to think about what could have been, and then I stack that on top of what should have been, my soul cries out, hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm just so excited. I am excited about what God has done and what he's doing and what he's going to do. Sometimes when things aren't going good, you got to celebrate what's going to happen. Amen. Amen. Because if I stay stuck on what is, instead of thanking God for what will be, even though I can't see it, I know that God is able. How many people know that God is able? How many people know for yourself, you've seen the power of God. You've seen the love of God manifest in your own life. And for that, God, we give you praise. We give you praise. Come on and go with me. Come and go with me. Because sometimes you can just praise him so much, you'll look up and you won't have time to preach because he's worthy of that and then some. Come and go back with me to the prophet's book, Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. We're going to go back and pick up where we left off last week. Jeremiah 29. And we're going to read the 11th through the 14th verse. First, giving honor to God, who's the head of my life. To my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to his Holy Spirit, to the angel of the house, Pastor Mobley Jr., to the deacons, to all my brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a word from the Lord on today. If you have your phones with you, and I know you do, if you haven't shared the stream, please do so at this time. Just share the stream right where you are. And as soon as you share it, don't stay in Facebook land. You don't have to stay in Facebook because you're here. Okay? Don't let me come back and see no post during the sermon, okay? Unless it applies to the sermon. But share this right now and tell somebody to tune in on whatever platforms you want to share it to. It takes 2 seconds. I'm done. I've shared it, and I promise you, I will not be on my cell phone during this message. Come in to the book of Jeremiah. This is not good. I'm going to switch to the red light. Number 5, or the red mic. All right. I'm glad we caught it early. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. If you have it, say amen. Amen. If you don't have it, you can look ahead, look on top of at the screens. 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Everybody, especially Baptist folk, Church of God and Christ folk, non-denominational folk, everybody shouts at 11. Everybody run around the church. You can just say that and people run around and lose their mind, but that's because we haven't read 12 through 14. 12 says, "Then you will call up on me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with some of your heart." Okay. I just want to make sure y'all was awake. "With all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." Let's stop right there. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. I want you to repeat after me on today and look at somebody and say, "On today, I want you to know I still hate it here." Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we love you, we thank you, and we praise your holy name. We thank you for being so awesome, so marvelous. We thank you for your love and kindness. We thank you for your power, your preservation power, your protective power. Lord, we just thank you for being a God that sits high but always looks low. We thank you for being a God that never sleeps nor slumbers. Thank you for everything that has transpired in this service thus far. The praise, the worship. God, we adore you. God, we love you. God, we magnify your holy name. God, allow me to decrease so that you may increase. Speak with my mouth, oh God. Think with my mind. Use me as you see fit. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, give me accuracy, give me power, and give me the ability to please you and only you on today. And God, forgive us of all our sins, thought and manifested. It's in the name of your son, Jesus, that we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen, amen. You may give God some praise right where you are and take your seat. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. I still hate it here. We know the story, and we just to kind of go back and do a quick review. We were talking about the Babylonian captivity, to where King Nebuchadnezzar had conquered Jerusalem and all Judea and killed so many people. In this city, so many Jews had been slaughtered, and even the king had been beaten and mutilated and eyes plucked from his head, and also taken into captivity in Babylon. We understand that this beautiful city, the temple, Solomon's temple, if you've never done research on Solomon's temple, you will know that it was believed to be 180 feet long. This is the place of worship. This is what made Judah the capital of Jerusalem, that the ceilings were 180 feet long. For my basketball scholars, that means it was two basketball courts long. It was 90 feet in width, which means it was the size of one basketball court across. And the ceilings were believed to be 50 to 75 feet high. It was made with gold throughout the place and all type of expensive and priceless and invaluable artifacts and things were stored in there, and it looked so beautiful, known to be the most beautiful building at that time ever erected. And during one battle, during one encounter, it was torn down and reduced to rubble. They were taken captivity, and those who were remaining, the elite, the few who didn't become extinct, were taken to Babylon, a foreign place in which they did not want to be. Some people may say they were immigrants, but the Bible says they were captives. They didn't go because they wanted to go. They went because it was go or die. During this time, they were in a place they didn't want to be, in a place where a lot of their loved ones were no longer with them. They were dead and had been executed, and their way of living as they knew it was over. Somebody say, why? Because they were practicing idolatry. God had a very minimal, if any, place in their hearts. And because of their wicked ways and their ways of doing things the way of pagans, the way of people who were not believers, the wrath of God turned towards the people of God. Are you following me? These were God's chosen people. And because of how they were conducting themselves in this beautiful city, you have to understand that Jerusalem was beautiful, and Judah was the capital, and Judah, we know, being the chosen tribe of God. And you just have to understand that with all its splendor and with all its beauty on the outside, the hearts of the people had turned away from God. Because of God's mercy and grace, he allowed them to be taken captive to a place they didn't want to be. Now, they were in this place, and because they were in a place they didn't want to be, they started believing out of their own wants and desires that they would get to go home. And then they would only start talking to people who agreed with the fact that they were getting ready to go back to where they had come from. And then in an attempt of encouragement, the Lord sends a letter through Jeremiah, who had been crying and lamenting and weeping for these people. And he told them that, you know what, you might as well quit believing all the hype. Stop drinking the Kool-Aid. The prophets are capping. Remember, I told y'all a few sermons ago what capping meant. That means they lying. I didn't send them. I didn't tell them these things. So let me go ahead and make it plain for you. Start building some houses. Find some wives and husbands for your children. And then when they make children, find some wives and husbands for your grandchildren, because you're going to be here for a while. But I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And in 70 years, we will start, and I will fix it to where you can go back to that place where I allowed you to be taken captive from. The Lord set the record straight. Nobody wronged you. Nobody did this outside of my will. I allowed this to happen because I needed to get your attention. And because you have lived like the devil all these years, we need 70 years of training, of reminding, of correcting, of chastising, of rebuke, so we can get all this out of the generations that you have put in here, because y'all been living like fools for years, and we got to get this out of the bloodline. We got to get this out of the people so you can be blessed like I want to bless you.
But he didn't say all that. He just said he got 70 years. But we know, looking back now, that the Lord had a plan. We learned last week that God is huge on plans and thoughts, but he's sometimes real small on details and itineraries and agendas. He doesn't always give you the play by play. Sometimes we just have to let our faith take us to the next step. Some people think it's smart to just sit there and just wait until you know it all. And sometimes it is, but sometimes you will wait way longer than God ever intended for you to wait, waiting for God to reveal everything to you. Somebody asked me, well, why do I still hate it here, Pastor Trey? We had a good time last week, and I understand that God has great things for me. Let me tell you why. On this morning, my daughter, the three-year-old, she said, Daddy, I want some sherbet. I simply said no. That was the plan. She didn't know the details, and she about lost it. So because I didn't have time for the mess, and I don't want to be whooping people on Sunday morning, I'm trying to keep my mentals right. These kids ain't going to stress me out. I said, so I gave her some details. I said, listen, it's too early for sherbet, but we're going to go to church. We're going to tell Granny happy birthday. We're going to eat some dinner. And then later on, I'll give you some sherbet. Now, that was a lot of details, wasn't it? That was a lot of details. I said, we're going to go to church. We're going to see Uncle Freddie and Aunt Jackie. I gave her all types of details. And she said, it didn't matter what I told her. I gave her the plan and the details. And in her little three-year-old mind, she said, I still hate it here. Because the only thing that she wanted and cared about was the sherbet. She didn't care about getting her dress dirty or getting her mouth clean or coming up in here looking like the rainbow. She didn't care about that. She wanted her sherbet. So I gave her the plan. That didn't work. I gave her some details to encourage her, and it still was a never-ending cycle. Why do you still hate it here? Because even though we believe that God has our back, when we as Christians, kids, or adults hear what we don't want to hear, we still hate it here. Because after all this time, they believed that they were getting ready to go. That's what they had believed and told themselves, because, you know, we're masters at lying. I'm not a liar. That's fine. You might not lie to other people, but there are times when we've all been guilty of lying to ourselves. And we've all been guilty of seeking out people who will confirm our lies. So they had convinced themselves that they were on their way out of Babylon back to Jerusalem, and the Lord had to set them straight. And what was meant for encouragement, and I believe it did, but I know there were some of us in there who said, okay, I hear you, Lord, but 70 years? I got to have kids, get them married. They got to have kids and them get married. 70 years? And you want me to pray for the people who have killed my loved ones? You want me to pray for the people who have burnt down our temple? The temple in which they were bringing all type of idolatry artifacts in. The temple that they had just disgraced and disdained the name of God by worshiping false idols. The Lord allowed the temple to be destroyed because sometimes we need a reset. We need a reset. But I still hate it here because you're telling me I got to put up with this foolishness for 70 years. What are you saying? I applied for a promotion. And even though I got 17 tardies, I've called in 15 times. I've been written up twice. For the last 30 days since you posted the promotion, I've been a star employee. I haven't been late for a month, and you're going to give the promotion to John, who hasn't missed a day, hasn't been late in 5 years. It has to be because he's white. it's race. No, it's because you call in all the time, and you call in after your days off, and you late because you gambled on McDonald's having your food ready quick, and now you late to work, and you've done that the last 15 times in the last year, and now you got two write-ups because you want your McGriddle. That's why. But when you hear that you got to stay in this place, in this position a little bit longer than you anticipated, you don't want to hear that. Now we mad and we're disgruntled, and now we're going to find people in the office place. We're going to find people in the school hallways to agree and support and endorse our shenanigans. So just because Trey and little Will and little Bill are circled up outside talking about how we got plays for the job, what I didn't know is that little Will and little Bill got more write-ups than me. Because the old folk were right. Birds of a feather always flock together. So we have to understand that sometimes you got to evaluate who you hanging with and who you conversing with, because you will never get the transparent truth hanging with people who are in the same struggle as you. So the Lord came and said, y'all better quit listening to these dummies, because I didn't send them. And I have not told them anything. And I'm going to encourage you and tell you that I'll be there. But listen, y'all going to do 70. And it said, once 70 years has been completed. See, sometimes the details are within the plan, but we just don't get all the details we want. He said, you got 70 years to pray for these people, to allow me to bless them. Because if they are blessed, you will be blessed. Multiply, increase your people, because God could see later down the line that there were going to be wars and they were going to be free and they were going to need population to sustain what God had in store for them. What am I trying to say? Simply, we have to trust God. But I hate it here, because 12 says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Okay, so listen. So I got all this bad news. I got to stay here 70 years. You done told me to find some new friends, some new prophets. You done told me to quit lying to myself. You done told me to build houses. I can put away the sleeping bag. I can build a house, get with the architect, because you're going to be here for a while. And now you're telling me that I need to go call up on you and pray to me. This is where the training begins, because they had lost sight of how to call up on God. They had lost sight of how to go to God. As you can see, even in the midst of their captivity, they were still running to man. That's why they were seeking out the prophets. That's why they were going to the diviners, because they were seeking man instead of turning to God. That's why Jeremiah cried for them, because even in the midst of all that had happened to them, they were yet to turn back to God. You would think, how many people haven't talked to God sometime in a moment, and as soon as somebody almost hits your car, or somebody almost dies, or something scary happens, the first thing you say is, oh Lord. Jesus, even those who don't believe will call on the name of Jesus if they staring in the face of danger. But the Jews had lost sight of how to call on the name of God. He took them back to the basics and said, then you will call upon me, because I've told you I'm going to give you a future and a hope, and you're going to call on me even though you don't have the details. Because if they had the details, they would have never gone back to calling on God and praying to him. The Lord can't tell you everything, because if he told you everything, we couldn't even handle it. If you knew your expiration date, you'd be a nutcase. If you knew the expiration date of your loved ones, you'd be a nutcase, if you knew that you were going to lose your home in three, if you knew certain things that God was working together for our good, we wouldn't be any earthly good. But he said, you will call upon me and go and pray to me. So now I have to go back and learn how to call on the name of the Lord. Then I have to teach myself and learn how to pray to God and go back to the basics. Because once you quit doing something for so long, it's hard to start it back up again. You ever do something and it's doing well and then you take a break from it? And then it's harder to restart than it is to initiate it when you first started. So now I got to go back to the basics. I'm calling on God and I'm praying to God. And this is why I hate it here, because he said, I'm going to listen. You ever talk to somebody on the phone? And you talking and talking, and then you're looking for some feedback, right? You're looking for them to acknowledge that they're listening or give you some type of word of encouragement or wisdom, and you just get silence. Sometime I talk to my pops on the phone, and I say, Dad, you over there asleep? He say, nah, I'm listening to you. Okay, well, that makes sense. Sometime you ain't saying nothing. Well, and she'll say, was I supposed to say something? That's rude. Okay, I talk too much. I get it. But the point, people amen when you don't even need them to. I need that amen when it get tight up in here. Don't give me them. I don't want that one. But the point is God is saying, you're going to pray to me. You're going to call on me. And I'm just going to listen. God was clear in this detail that you're going to pray and you're going to call out to me, but I'm not talking to you. I've told you what I'm going to do. And you're going to learn to call on my name and pray to me. And I have just assured you that I'm listening. He didn't say, you go ahead and pray to me and we're going to talk and you're going to have to trust that I'm with you and that I can hear you as long as you start to call up on me and pray to me. I'm listening. Try talking to somebody. Sometime when I talk to Chanel and Chanel's talking and I'm multitasking and I'm working, she will get frustrated and say, well, since nobody's listening. I think one of the most irritating things is to talk to people and believe they not listening. As a preacher, you learn to kind of deal with it because you talking and y'all don't think we see it all, but we see a lot. And when I see people looking at their phones and scan, I can see people scrolling from here. You can see it. I'm just telling you, you can see it. And it's like, boy, you sit here, you done been up all night, all week studying, and you up in here scrolling? I'm just trying to help somebody, because that's exactly what God said. I hear you and I'm listening, but you went all these years and I was there waiting on you to come to me, and now you didn't come to me. So now I'm going to show you how to talk to me and I'm going to listen to you. But don't think I'm not here because you can't hear me. What am I trying to say is that even when you praying to God and you don't think he hears you, God is listening. But then you go back to 11 and remind yourself that he already told you that I know the thoughts and I know the plans. I don't have to tell you nothing. I don't owe you another thing. I already came and told you in 11 that I know the plans. I don't have to keep reminding you. See, one thing, parents, let me tell you why our mentals is all messed up. We keep repeating ourselves, saying the same thing over and over. God already told you, I'm here with you. I won't leave you nor forsake you. I don't ever sleep nor slumber. I'm not going to keep reminding you. I'm not going to keep on saying the same thing over and over. You did it your way all these decades, all these centuries. You worship false idols, and I bless you and I kept you. And now you, because you hear me now, you want me just to put things back the way it was. Now you got to learn. This is for your good. This is for the betterment of your people. I'm trying to bless your children and your children's children so they can see the power of God in this scenario. So after all that, you have to call up on me and pray to me, and I'm going to listen to you. And why you feel discouraged sometimes because God hasn't gotten back with you. You know what's rude? It's when you know somebody has seen that you called them. How many people got some missed calls still outstanding? How many people got some text messages? You can see the read receipt. And you still don't have a reply. If I haven't responded to anybody, please charge it to my head and not my heart. I don't know if I got some outstanding, but if anybody in here I'm missing, I'll get back with you. But there's nothing more irritating than when you know people done seen your message and your voicemail and they ain't got back with you. It's actually a little discouraging, especially if they need you or we need you or they need us. It's discouraging sometimes, and anxiety and stuff builds up because, you know, if I call you once, you know, and I keep going, then I start thinking something's wrong. See, so God is saying, just come to me and call on me and pray to me, and I'm listening. And in order for somebody to listen, what? They have to be there. They have to be there. Now listen. So we've done all that. And God's not talking, but he's listening. God is there, and he's here with you, even though I still hate it here. God is still here. Okay, hold on. Somebody missed it. You're at a here that you still hate, and God is telling you at the place you still hate that he's here with you. What I love about it is that because God is omnipresent, the fact that you're over there makes that you're here, and God makes our here his here because he's every place at the same time. So as long as you're in the presence of God, you don't have to hate where you still are. You just have to learn to love the fact that God has your back, and you don't have to know everything that God has in store for you. Sometimes God wants to surprise you with his superiority. Sometimes God just wants to show you out of nowhere how much he loves you. Sometimes I tell my kids, I got a surprise for you. And the kids will say, what's the surprise? Well, that I can't tell you that. But listen, this is where we struggle. All my life, I tell my wife, I feel like we spend our whole day looking for stuff. How many people lose stuff in their own house? You're looking for keys. You're looking for wallets. You're looking for batteries. You know, you're looking for all type of things. And it irritates me to no end when I got to look for stuff, especially if I find out that I didn't move it. Let my chaos be my chaos. Don't let my chaos come your place. My here might be chaotic, but I know where my stuff is. But 13 says, and you will seek me and find me. Right? We're looking for the Lord. And I'm going to find God. But listen, you will only find God when you search for God with your whole heart. Now let's park it right there. Your whole heart. Somebody go to Matthew 7:7-8. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. We have to put in some work to show God that we love him. And the Lord don't want a piece of your heart. He doesn't want a quarter of your service. He doesn't want it when it's beneficial for you and convenient for you. The Lord said that you will seek me and find me. Okay, that's the result. But the formula is it takes your whole heart, the sum total of everything that's in you, and then you will truly find God. The reason why you still hate it here, one reason is because you haven't found God in your here. God is there, but you haven't sought him with your whole heart. The Bible says that you can got to be cold or hot. But if you're lukewarm, then I will spew you out of my mouth. Some of us are sitting right next to God in his presence, and we can't find him because we won't seek him with our whole heart. Some of us want to live in the world, but say we love God. Some of us want to do things according to our own fleshly desires and say we love God. That's like an 80-20. I'm going to give God 20% Monday through Friday. And on Saturday, if I kick it, then I'll give you 20. You know, I won't drink too much. But on Sunday, I'm going to give you the full 80. See, that's not your whole heart. You want to know why you can't hear God and ain't nobody talking? Because we haven't sought him with our whole heart. God wants it all. He only asked for 10% of your earnings, okay? He only asked for 10% of that. But he wants 100% of your heart. And then when you seek me and find me, you will search. That's because you have searched for me with all your heart. 14 goes on to say, I will be found by you, says the Lord. See, the Lord said that I will be found. He didn't say that he will find you. The Lord says that I will be found. That means if I find you, that means I've been looking for you. God saying that I'm not moving because I don't move. I'm every place at the same time. I can't move because if I move from here to there, I've told you before that here can no longer exist. Because if God moves from point A to point B, A has to disappear as God would cease to be omnipresent. But since he's everywhere at the same time, then God doesn't move. He's not playing hide and go seek with us. He's playing, I want your whole heart. I'm not going to settle for nothing less. Let me give a message to everybody. Quit settling. I don't care how long you've been single. Quit settling. God knows the plans that he has for you. You don't have to settle and shack up. You ain't got to settle and do what the world is doing. Wait, I say on the Lord. I don't know what he gonna look like. I don't know what she gonna sound like. But I know the plans that he has for me. And if God didn't settle, he didn't intend for his children to settle. So you wait until he gives you his whole heart. Wait until he gives it to you all. Wait until he's ready to put a ring on your finger. Wait until he's ready to be committed to you and only you. God said that you will find me when you give me your whole heart. One reason we still hate it here is because we settling. Quit settling and wait for it all. God wants to give it to you all. But we have to be willing to go through the process. And once you find God, once you truly find God, listen to what God is saying. Listen to what God is saying in Proverbs 8:17. I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently will find me. Diligent means that I'm doing it consistently. And I'm putting forth the effort of my whole heart. Not none of that haphazard and kind of come by day, fly by night seeking. But I'm seeking God with everything in me. David praised and worshiped God to the point that he came up out of his clothes. Sometimes you got to dig deep and find that motivation. Like that one time you thought that you weren't going to make it out. I bet we sought God diligently then. Or when our loved one was hanging on by a thread, I bet we sought God then. When we wanted that promotion that we didn't deserve, I bet we sought God then. See, we get real lackadaisical until we want God for something. Or we need him from something. And then you may as well put a priest collar on. People get real holy when they need the Lord. Amen. Amen. They put on the bishop rings and they start quoting scriptures and they go to the hymns because now we want God to see what's going on. Listen, newsflash, God has always been right there with you. The Bible says that the ears and the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. He already know we've been on shenanigans the whole time. You can fake out your employers. You can fake out your parents. But God knows. They sang today, God knows my name. That don't just mean he knows that you Deacon Donnie or you Deacon Gerard. It means he knows you from head to toe, front to back. I know everything about you. I know more about you than you know about yourself. The Lord said that now that you have found me, and although it took 70 years for you to figure out how to come back to your first love, the Lord knew it was going to take all that and then some. But once you find me, I will bring you back from your captivity. Some people, in order to go back to where you started, it's not a place, because most of us don't want to go back. Okay, most people don't want to go back because we assume that where we came from is not as good as where we are. But when you've been practicing idolatry and living because you've lost track of the goodness of God, you've lost your way in worship, you've lost your way in prayer, you've lost your way in studying and meditating in God's word. Somebody told me the other day, this pandemic, Pastor, I've kind of lost my way, and I'm not studying and following God like I should be. And she said, it's been the roughest year of my life. See, when you have those type of statements, sometimes you want to go back, because sometimes our past was better than our present. And if we can go back to our past, because what? We need a reset. Because in order for our latter to be greater than our past, sometimes we have to go back. And the Lord said that once I find you, I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. In order to go back to the place, and don't get caught up on the place, because the Bible will never fall short of what the Bible says. Your ladder will be greater than your past. But he's going to bring you back to the place where you just woke up and worship God for no reason. How many people want to go back to the place to where you have peace that surpasses all understanding? Who remembers the days when your kids didn't stress you out and you didn't have to worry about emailing the teachers and how many assignments your kids didn't miss? Who wants to go back to the times where I trusted in God no matter what? Who wants to go back to the times and when you used to say, though he slay me? See, I remember that. When people could be on their deathbed and I wouldn't be so nervous about people dying, I could just stretch my hands towards heaven and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I want the Lord to bring me back to where I prayed to God without ceasing. So when everything was falling around me, I still trusted in God. I want to go back to the place to where I sought God first, before I asked somebody else what they thought. I want to go back to the place where when I couldn't sleep all night, instead of watching TV all night, I got down on my knees and I said, our Father who art in heaven. I want to go back to the place to where I called somebody and they prayed with me, instead of scrolling through Facebook. I want to go back to where God was the center of my universe. I want to go back to where I love God with my whole heart. And as soon as we start doing that, we won't hate it here like we think we do. Because what God was saying is, even though you're in a place, here goes the blessing, that you don't want to be in, I need you to know that, lo, I am with you always. I don't care where you are. If you're a child of the God, know that God is with you. But he wants you to seek him with your whole heart. If you're in the hospital, seek him with your whole heart. If you lost your job, he wants you to still seek him with your whole heart. When your house is in shambles, when your marriage is in disarray, when your kids have gone crazy, when you're jobless, carless, seek him with your whole heart. He's trying to get us back to where we first loved him. That's how your ladder becomes greater than your past. You have to go back to your first love, which is God. It ain't him with a small H. Quit chasing him and her and start chasing God diligently with your whole heart. It wasn't set up for him and her to get 80% and we give God the rest. God wants it all. God wants it all. So after 70 years has passed, listen to what God said in Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1, you know, and I know I've got Joel up there and I'm going to come back to Joel, but let's go to Ezra 1, sis. It says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, who was not a believer, who didn't worship God, who worshiped pagan gods and false idols and all that, but so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom. And he also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him, with a big H, a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whoever is left in any place where he dwells, that the men of his place with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, besides the freewill offerings for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And I got to read 5 just for the sake of apologetics. I told y'all last week about them tribes of Israel. 5 says, then the heads of the fathers, houses of Judah and Benjamin. Does anybody see Manasseh or anybody else on there? No, I just want to make sure. Because we talked about last week how there were only 2 tribes remaining. Here they are. The heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites with all whose spirits God had moved, arose to go and build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. We read a lot, but it's so meaningful that an unbeliever was touched by God to bless his chosen people even after they disrespected him for so many years. And even after 70 years of captivity, after years of murder and mayhem and all the things that led them to Babylon, the Lord still didn't fall short of his word. He literally, this is the manifestation of Jeremiah 29 in Ezra 1. He said that I know the thoughts I have towards you. And in the first year, Cyrus woke up and had something on his mind from a God he didn't believe in order to bless the chosen people of God. What am I saying? God can reach out and touch anybody who's in your way. He can reach out and touch anything that's holding you captive. You just have to hold on to God with your unchanging hand, and you have to believe that God will do exactly what he said he would do. People may mock you and make fun of you because you still believing in God, but they made fun of Jesus. You don't believe me? Go to Mark 15, 29 through 30. Now, this is where I'm getting excited, because I preach a lot about Jesus saying that you can tear this temple down, but we'll build it back up in 3 days. Here goes where they thought it was a joke. 29 says, and those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, aha, you who destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Jesus had told them what was happening, and they didn't believe him. See, when God gives you the details, you have to believe that he's going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. Because some made fun of him because they didn't believe in him. But some of them still didn't believe in him even though they didn't make fun of him. Let me say it again. There were those who made fun of him because they didn't believe in him. But even those who walked with him every day and night didn't believe that he was going to come back in 3 days. And so what I'm trying to say is, if even when God gives you the details, you're still not going to be ready to accept what will happen. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is that he came down through 40 and two generations. If God had told the whole world that he was going to send a son through a virgin, because he told his mama and he told his daddy the details, and they didn't believe him even though they told him. God is telling us, he's giving the details in his word. He's given us the plan in his word. And we still struggle with believing in what God has in store for us. See, big faith allows me to believe that no matter how bad my situation looks, God is able to raise me up. Big faith allows me to believe that no matter what I'm going through in my life, that God is able to fix it for me. You can make fun of me. You can mock me. But I have a peace that surpasses all understanding. And just because you don't believe, that's your here. So I'm going to let you stay over there in your here. But over here in my place, we believe that God is able. Over here, we believe that God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above more than we can ask or think. Over here, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We gotta quit letting people over there. We gotta quit letting they over there become out here. See, because they energy spreads. Soon as they come in negative, guess what? You trying to figure out how you ended up negative. Soon as they come in here doubting, you trying to figure out, well, why all of a sudden do somebody ever leave you and you feel drained? Quit letting they over here over there become your over here. Sometimes I got to keep my over here just to me and mine. Because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to trust God. As for me and my house, I believe that the blood of the Lamb is able. As for me and my house, I know God will keep me. As for me and my house, I know he never sleeps nor slumbers. As for me and my house, I don't care what the world is doing. I don't care. I don't care what the world is doing. How does my latter become better than my past? Well, and here goes the blessing. The reason why the Lord didn't come down from the cross, because if he had come down from the cross, then we wouldn't have had Friday night. If he had come down from the cross, we wouldn't have had Saturday night. If he had come down from the cross, how would he have ever come up from the grave? If he had come down from the cross, how could he have come up from the grave? Sometime you got to be down. Sometime you're going to be in the valley. Sometime you're going to feel by yourself. Sometime you're going to feel like giving up. But you're only going to be down there for a season. And it's going to come a time where God is going to resurrect you. It's going to come a time where God is going to set you free. It's going to come a time where God is going to answer your prayers. It's going to come a time where God is going to heal your land. See, it's after the resurrection. It's after you get up. That's where the blessing comes from. Because the Bible says that when Jesus was resurrected, he got a name that was above every name. See, he got promoted. When you get elevated and resurrected, you get promoted. I don't care about these worldly promotions. I want a high rank up in heaven. I want God to lift me up. I want God to promote me. And Jesus got a name that was above every name. That at the name of Jesus, is that the name of Jesus that every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess? Is that the name of Jesus that the demons must tremble? Is that the name of Jesus that Satan will flee. It's that the name of Jesus that diseases be gone. It's that the name of Jesus. But he had to go down so he could be rose up. Now somebody said, well, Pastor Trey, I'm not Jesus. Well, what are you saying about when God brings me out of my trouble? I'm getting excited. Because Isaiah 61:7 says, instead of your shame, listen, church, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. This is where people say, I want double for my trouble. It's not just a cliche. It's in the word. After you get up, God got double for you. Pastor done already told you. When Job went down, the Lord restored it even more than what he had before. God got double for your trouble. How do I know? How do I know? I told you at the beginning, and I'm done. 50 to 75 feet high was Solomon's temple. That's what I said, right? 180 feet long was the length of the temple. That's what I said, right? It was 90 feet wide. That's what I said, right? The second temple that was resurrected was 150 feet high. So 75 times 2 makes 150. I'm not a mathematician, but I believe that's double. And then the building was 180 feet long. The first one was. But then the second one was 360 feet long. I'm not a mathematician, but I believe that's double than what it was before. And it was 90 feet wide the first time, but the second one was over 180 feet wide. I believe that's double for your trouble. So when you get up, God is going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings that you don't have. The Bible says that he's going to give it back to me. Pressed down, shaken up, and running over. How many people are going to wait on the Lord? I don't want your blessing. I want God to bless me. I don't want your increase. I want God's increase. And I leave you with this. But may the God of grace, who called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a while. I know it seems like it's been a long time, but after you suffered a while, after you've been through a little bit, I know it seems like it's never going to end, but Jesus said it's just going to be a while. Jesus said that this too shall pass. Jesus said that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. But after you suffered for a while, oh Lord, it's been a long week and God said it's necessary. Oh Lord, it's been a long pandemic, but God said you needed it. Oh God, when is this going to be over? But just suffer for a while, because all things, the bad things, the good things, all things work together for the good. But after you suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. It's working together for your good. You don't have to hate it here anymore, because God is with you. I know we're missing some loved ones, but God is with you. I know we're tired of being sick and tired, but God is with you. Just seek him with your whole heart. If you feel like somebody has died and half your heart is gone with them, seek them with the whole half you got left. If you don't feel like you got that much fight in you, just keep seeking the Lord. Because the Bible says that I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise, his praise, his praise, his praise. I'm going to praise you in the morning. I'm going going to praise you in the afternoon. I'm going to praise you at nighttime. I'm going to praise you in the car. I'm going to praise you at work. I'm going to bless the Lord at all. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Go ahead and stand to your feet. We got to start praising God no matter what. No matter what. We have to start praising and worshiping God. We can't let our praise and worship for God be contingent on the place that we're in. God is God no matter what place we're in. God is the God who has brought you to where you are. You think about, I know we all know somebody who was here last year, who's not here today. And who knows who will be here next year and who won't. It could be one of us. But as long as you know Jesus Christ, he's going to give it back to you. He's going to give you more than you ever had before. Whatever you feel like you've lost in this life, it's nothing compared to what God has in store for his children, for those that love him. You can stack money up to your ceiling. You can stack up all your 401ks and all that. But when the Lord calls for you, we better make sure that our heavenly account is in good standing. The lesson of the story is, even though Judah was never perfect, let me tell you what they never struggled with again. They never ever struggled with idolatry again. It was for our good. Whatever you've gone through, whether you caused it or the Lord allowed it to happen, God will allow it to work for our good. We have to learn our lessons and we have to apply them. God wants your whole heart. He wants your whole heart. We can sing that. Let's all sing that together. Come on, let's play that. Come on, y'all. One more time, y'all. One more time. Come on. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Come on, come on. Jesus, Jesus. Come on, say his name. Jesus. Jesus. Come on, stretch your hands up. Jesus. Go ahead and give God some praise. Go ahead and give God some praise. Go ahead and give God some praise. Yes, Lord. He's worthy. He's worthy. We want to take this time right now as the musicians play, that if you don't, I want every head bowed and every eye closed. If you don't know God in this place, just kind of raise your hand and we'll get to you. We will talk to you. We will put our mask on and socially distance and make sure you don't leave here without knowing Jesus Christ.